And Romans chapter 9, we'll begin reading in verse 1. We'll read through verse 9. Our focus today will be predominantly on verses 7 through 9. But to get the context, we'll read beginning in verse 1. And before we read the Word of God, let's pray to the Lord and ask for His blessing upon us in the reading and preaching of His Word. Our Father, we give You praise once again for Your holy, inerrant, infallible Word, which is good for us. It's breathed out by You. And so, Father, we ask that You would help us now to understand it. We are unable of ourselves to do so. We need Your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, fill us with Your Holy Spirit and illumine our hearts and our minds and turn us from our sins to You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 9 and verse 1, these are the words of the Lord. I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And those are the words of the Lord. And you can see there at the beginning, verses 1 through 5, this great grief and sorrow that Paul had in his heart as he writes this, as we've seen already, because of his fellow countrymen, just like we would say today, because of our nation, the people in our nation, our Americans, who are not believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ when they have all these blessings, especially those who have grown up in the church. They have all these blessings. They've heard the word, they've heard the promises, and yet they have not believed in Jesus Christ for their life. It's the same with Paul. He was grieving, he was sorrowful in his heart over his fellow countrymen, the Jews. That they had failed to believe, they had failed to bow the knee to Christ and acknowledge Him as Savior and Lord. They were looking for the coming Messiah, and when Christ the Messiah came, they hated Him. And they stumbled over Him, the stone of stumbling. So then the thought comes in verse 6, well then, has the Word of God failed? Because these are the chosen people, Israel. Has the Word of God failed? Has His promises failed? The promises that the Lord made, the covenant promises, that they have come to nothing, haven't they? They've shown God to be unfaithful, haven't they? And the answer, of course, to that is no, of course they have not. And we went back to Romans 2 and 3, and we saw that Paul had already addressed everything he's already talking about here in Romans 9. We looked at Romans 2 and 3, we saw the answer, the same thing Paul is addressing, and it's basically absolutely not ever, no, never, is God unfaithful. And so, God is always faithful to His covenant promises. And so then what has happened then? Why haven't the Jews believed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because here are all these Jews, these people who have descended from Abraham. And they have not believed the gospel. They haven't been saved from their sins. Their sins have not been atoned for. Well, we heard in verse 6, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. We're given the negative formulation of that in verse 6, but the positive implication of that, one commentator says, is this: there is indeed a true Israel. God's rejection of Israel is not total. It's not complete. It's not all the Jews that have, not all the Jews have not believed. Some have believed. And so His word has not failed, never will fail. The remnant will be saved. Verse 27 of chapter 9. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. And we know that the one who puts their faith in Christ will not be put to shame. Verse 33 of chapter 9. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. The passage before us this morning expounds then on verse 6. Again, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. And we said previously, as we expounded upon that, and we knew through the context, we'll learn more about that context today because He keeps expounding upon that, that it really means for they are not all true spiritual, true believers in Israel who are of the physical ethnic Israel who physically descend from Abraham. We're shown then clearly in these verses. The first point this morning, Abraham's seed. Abraham's seed. Verse 7 says, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. Now that language of seed ought to remind us of many different passages in the Scriptures. And we should be familiar with a general understanding of seed or offspring in the word as it we see it throughout the Bible. The first instance, of course, we know is its use in Genesis 3:15, which says, and I will put enmity, the Lord speaking to Satan after the fall of man into sin, and I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And that's the first, as we know, the first proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ defeating Satan, crushing his head. The promise there in all of Scripture that the Lord, that then there would be an enmity between Satan's seed, that is the children of Satan, of which he is the father of, and the children of the woman, or Eve's seed. That seed that would then eventually come from the woman would be Christ who would defeat Satan. But early on in Genesis, we see the different seeds taking part. In Genesis 4, the next chapter, we see the seed of Satan, the seed of his offspring, his people who follow after him spiritually. And then in chapter 5, the seed of the woman. And what was the difference between them? Those in chapter 4, Genesis 4, the seed of Satan, the children of Satan, were those who were wicked like Cain. And so it's kind of the genealogy of Cain. And then, as they hated the word of the Lord, they hated His judgments like Cain did. They did not worship the Lord. But then chapter 5, the seed of the woman. And you have Adam and Seth. And it goes on and on with all these names. Even Enoch, who did not die but was raised up and promise of Christ and the resurrection that we have in Him. They had faith. They loved the Lord. And so that theme then, as we continue in Genesis, continues the seed of the wicked and the righteous. Even to the time of Abraham, Genesis 21, verse 12, verse 7, in our passage, verse 7 is quoted. Genesis 21, 12, it says, but God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad, and speaking of Ishmael and then Hagar, or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. There's that distinction that the Lord is making between Ishmael and Isaac. And that's what our passage is about this morning. Your seed, He says. Now physically, yes, Ishmael and Isaac are the seed or offspring of Abraham physically. physically. In verse 7, where it says the seed of Abraham, it's referring to his physical, ethnic descendants. Isaac and Ishmael, both of them, and then Jacob and Esau, all those people who came from Ishmael, those are his physical ethnic descendants. But the Lord clearly says, in Isaac your seed shall be called. And we know that Ishmael was cast out. And so what was going on there? So not all the children of Abraham, not all the physical descendants of Abraham are the seed of Abraham who are called unto God. We aren't talking about generations upon generations removed from Abraham. We're talking about his physical children, where we call our children today. Like that. The very next generation, the very children who were born from Abraham according to the flesh. But even those of his children were not all called. They were not all chosen. Not the all Israel. Of verse 6, for they are not all Israel like Isaac, who are of Israel like Isaac and Ishmael. Who is the all Israel? In verse 6, the first one there in verse 6, we see in verse 7, they are the ones who are called. It's the same word that we found and studied in chapter 8, verse 30. Those who are foreknown, that is, eternally loved by God. From before the foundation of the world, God loved them. These people. And not only foreknown, but predestined before the foundation of the world to be saved and brought unto Him. And these are called. And if called, then justified and glorified. Isaac was called in that way. The way of Ephesians 1, the way of Romans 8, verse 30. But Ishmael, the same father of Abraham, was not called. He wasn't called. And so they're not all Israel, beloved, who are of Israel. And so are Isaac and Ishmael both the seed of Abraham? Yes, they are. They're physically descended from him. Verse 7, the seed of Abraham is parallel to that in verse 6 of the words of Israel, like Ishmael and Isaac. So who then are the children? That being parallel to verse 6, the all Israel, like Isaac. Because he was called by God, because God eternally loved him, but not Ishmael. This is what John 1, 12 to 13 teaches us, beloved. But as many as received him, that is the word, which is Christ. So as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born of God. They're born of God. Now we ask why. Why aren't Abraham's children, all of them, called? How is it that all of Israel, physically, how is it that not that all of Israel is called? How are they not all the chosen people? They are the chosen people, aren't they? They are the chosen nation, aren't they? And we answer, yes, of course they are. They are called, they're chosen. According to the law. According to the law, they are chosen. Just like we would say, our children are our children by law. They were born from us. But not according to faith. And it's faith that justifies. Yes, Ishmael and Isaac are chosen, the part of that chosen nation, chosen people according to the law. The Israelites in Paul's day, the Jews in Paul's day, in the times of the Gospels, they were chosen, the chosen nation according to the law. But many not according to faith. It's faith that justifies. And it's faith which is given as a gift to those who are called according to the eternal love of God. Listen to Romans 4, and you turn there in your Bibles. Romans 4. In Romans 4, verse 13, he's using the same language. In Romans 9, chapter 4, verse 13, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect. The same language we find in chapter 9. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Did you hear what we read? Verse 16, there for the promise to be made sure to all the seed, the promise communicated to all the nation of Israel, for it to be sure to the seed, then those of Israel, according to the law, must also be of the faith of Abraham. They have to believe. They don't have it by blood or the will of man or by flesh. They have to believe. They are, though, descendants of promise if they believe, in which we see extended to Gentiles clearly in Galatians 3. But we remember here in Romans 9, Romans 4, we're speaking specifically about the Jews. That's what Paul's talking about, is the Jews. Though it does extend to Gentiles too for our benefit, and we praise the Lord for that. But as he's focused on the Jews, we then... who are the Jews who are the heirs of the promise, not those of the law only. Chapter 4, verse 14 says, because then faith would be void. If it was just the law, faith would be void and the promise would have no effect. That is, God would be unfaithful. It's the same language, chapter 9, verse 6. It would take no effect. It would have failed. So it has to be of faith. And so not merely Ishmael who was of the law, but like Abraham and Isaac, those who are of the faith are called. And we go back to Genesis 15, which says, then he, that is the Lord, brought him, Abraham, outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. So shall your descendants be. And that's what we just read in chapter 4 of Romans. Abraham's descendants, who are they? Is he talking there in Genesis 15 about the likes of Ishmael? Or Romans 9? We'll go on to talk about Esau. Is he talking about Esau? He's not. He's talking about the spiritual Israel. Those who are truly called and believed and are justified. How do we know that? Because the very next verse says, and he believed in the Lord and it accounted to him as righteousness. In Genesis 15. His descendants that number the stars in the heaven will be those who are descendants not by law only, but by faith. And that's Romans 4:18 quoting Genesis 15, so shall your descendants be. And Romans 4 continues, and Romans 4 continues, and it says in verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So if you believe, beloved, then the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to you, accounted to you, reckoned to you, and you will be raised up on the last day in union with Jesus Christ. That's Abraham's seed. That's the true Abraham's seed, by faith. And there's this distinction made between those who descend from Abraham by faith, those who descend then from him physically or by law. And in verse 7 of chapter 9, the seed of Abraham is describing those who physically descend from Abraham. Descendants according to the law, those by faith, verse 7, are called children. And that leads us to our second point this morning, the children of God. The children of God. And verse 8, it says, that is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. He begins with, that is, showing that he's bringing more clarity now to what he's just said in verses 6 and verse 7. And you go back to verse 7, the seed of Abraham, which is like verse 6, the of Israel at the end of the verse. And that is like in verse 8, the children of the flesh. All three, Paul's describing, are the same group of people. Of Israel, the seed of Abraham, the children of the flesh. These are the ones who are descended physically from Abraham. Like Isaac and like Ishmael. But merely being by law, according to the flesh, descended from Abraham has not made them children of God. They are merely children of the flesh. And in verse 7, the focus was on being called. On being called. But here there's this adoptive language that's now added or expounded upon from verse 7. Those who are children of God, the children of the promise, they are the all Israel of verse 6. They are the children in verse 7. And such are adopted into the family of God, as we heard in chapter 8. One does not attain adoption by physically descending from a family. You're already in the family. They must be adopted into a family, coming from outside that family. And that's like Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. In verse 21, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And we've been, as Gentiles, we've been brought into a family. We've been brought into the family of God. So you see, there's a difference between the sonship of Israel according to the flesh, like Isaac and Ishmael and Jacob and Esau, and the sonship of Israel according to the Spirit. One theologian said this, the nation of Israel stood in a relation to God in which no other nation was ever placed, but only a part of them enjoyed a spiritual relation. And so therefore, beloved, you see verse 8, that the children of the flesh are not the children of God. They're not the children of promise. But the children of promise are the children of God. They are counted as the seed. The seed. It's going back to that whole thought of the seed of the woman. They're counted as the seed. It's talked about in Genesis 21 and 18 and 15 and all with Abraham and the promises there. They're counted as the seed. A seed of the godly line in Genesis 5. That's Romans 2:28. You remember that? You turn there, Romans 2:28. We read a few Lord's Day ago, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. But then verse 9 in our passage, chapter 9, verse 9 says this, and gives the reason why the children of God, the children of the promise, are counted as the seed and not counted as the children of flesh. Why is it, and we ask the question, why is it that Isaac is counted as the seed and is called by God and did believe unto salvation? Why not Ishmael, the other child of the flesh? Why not him? It says in verse 9, for this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. So Paul's quoting from Genesis 18, verse 10. Here's the passage that the Lord appeared to Abraham with two others. If you remember, and the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, and remember, Sarah was in the tent and she laughed. All right. He said there, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? That is speaking of Abraham. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Then the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them and sent them on their way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. That is the promise of a child. And so the word of promise to Abraham is, at this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And yet she was too old to bear children. Abraham, you remember, was described as good as dead. In Hebrews 11, therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars in the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. It's in this way, though, we may say that Isaac, like Ishmael, was born of the flesh, a child of the flesh. In another sense, he was not. He was a child of promise because, according to the flesh, beloved, Abraham and Sarah could not produce a child. God had to give them a child by His grace alone. He had to work an extraordinary miracle to bring it about. And this is expounded in Galatians 4. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one of the bondwoman Hagar, the other by a free woman, Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman, that's Ishmael, was born according to the flesh, and he was of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. And for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. If you are one, then, as we've learned here, that expects to be justified or saved by carnal ordinances which Christ abolished, if you have confidence in the flesh, in other words, and you look for your justification by your works, whether you're good enough, whether you're righteous enough, whether you don't sin as much as other people, or you do good things, you look for salvation in a fleshly way, like Ishmael, who is a child of the flesh. And so if that is you, then you are like Ishmael, a child of the flesh. If you are to be a child of God, though, then you may only be saved by trust in the promise, by faith and trust in the promise, faith in Christ Jesus for your life. Without the miracle, without something happening above and beyond ordinary providence, in other words, by the hand of God, Isaac had to be born and was brought about through that miracle. He could not have been born by flesh, but only through the miracle and the extraordinary work of God in Abraham and Sarah. And so the Lord brought him about as a child of promise to indicate to us that we are saved in the same way. Through His extraordinary providence in changing our hearts. He has to change our hearts because our hearts are what? Are wicked, that's right, and are in sin, and we can only crave sin, and we can only do sin until and unless Jesus Christ is sent for us. And the Holy Spirit is sent into our hearts and changes our hearts so that we then can believe, so that we can then do righteousness. We cannot do righteousness apart from Jesus Christ or the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And so therefore, beloved, we need a miracle in us, the Holy Spirit sent into our hearts to be counted as the children of God, the children of promise, the ones who are counted as the seed, not mere children of flesh. And therefore, beloved, the Word of God has not failed. Because, that's going back to verse 6, the Word of God has not failed. So what do we learn from this passage as we were summarizing it? If we were to summarize it, we ask the question, has the Word of God failed? Has He failed in His promise to keep it? The promise that He made? And we know, we go back to chapter 3, absolutely not, ever, no, never. He's always faithful because the saving promises of God applied only to the Israel that was within Israel. The Israel, according to the promise and the Spirit, that was inside the children of the flesh. The Israel of the flesh that physically descended from Abraham. It's only applied to the true spiritual Israel like Isaac, who were within the fleshly Israel according to the law and flesh of which were both Isaac and Ishmael. So in other words, there is a true spiritual Israel and ethnic Israel. There are true children among Abraham's children. And these true children and true Israel are children of God, children of the promise, counted as the seed and called not mere children of flesh. So beloved, the Word of God has not failed because it applies only to these. When God had promised, He was talking about not Ishmael, but He was talking about people like Isaac and Abraham who believed in faith. And we know that His Word has not failed because other Jews are saved too. We think of Paul who wrote this as an example. And Peter and the disciples of Jesus, the many of them, not all of them, but many of them who were from among Israel, who are the true spiritual Israel. And so then we think of today and the Jews today who are according to the flesh and descend from Abraham. They too are apart if they believe. And there's some that will. And we have that guarantee right here because God's Word does not fail. And so we should evangelize to the Jews as well as the Gentiles. And so what about you then? Are you in Christ? Do you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ is all who are adopted into His family do? Your only hope to be counted as the true seed, as the seed of the woman, your only hope of being one who is called, the one who is justified, one who is eternally loved by God as if you believe in faith like Abraham did. Do you believe the promises of God? Do you believe the good news of Jesus Christ? Do you believe and trust for your atonement, for your being reconciled and propitiated, your sins propitiated? Do you believe for your life, for your glorification forever with Jesus? Do you, with all of your being, hold that Christ died for you on the cross? Do you, with all of your being, know that He lived a righteous life on this earth for you without ever sinning, so that you would have righteousness and be counted as righteous? That He died that perfect, satisfactory death that is now your death to your sin, and that He rose and is exalted, knowing that that is your resurrection guaranteed and your exaltation and glorification guaranteed in him. I warn you with this, that at the end of your life, which may be today, because God numbers all of our days and we don't know when we will die, do not at the end of your life find yourselves outside of Christ, but come to him and him alone, lest you be judged forever. Hear the promises always kept, that you may have life forever in Jesus Christ and him alone. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you praise for your glorious promises, and though it might have been confusing at times for us, even for some of us here, we first began to understand Romans 9, and we immediately applied to ourselves the true Israel, the all Israel, that's us, and it is. And yet here, Father, we learn the focus is on the Jews, that there is a remnant among them, and that we should not merely go to those who are like us in our families or our community, but even those of the Jews, and evangelize and tell them the good news and call them to Christ, the Messiah, that they are looking for, if they are at all any faithful Jew. And so, Father, we ask that you would cause us to come in contact with more of the Jewish people, but Gentiles too, and that your name would go forth and your marvelous light will shine in the hearts, and you will save your children, the children of promise, the children who are counted as the seed, and those whom you have forever, eternally loved and predestined and called. Father, call them unto yourself. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.